Chapter 30 Continued. The theater was in a cafe with round tables, each covered with a red and white checkered cloth, and in the center an empty Matus bottle that held a candle. Rebecca moved close to Ron's ear, and he could feel the aroma of her perfume stroking him. "This place is perfect," she said. Ron didn't tell her that it was his first time here. He didn't tell her that he'd seen an advertisement for the place in his daily paper. He decided that it would be pretty easy to just seem comfortable and familiar with whatever happened. He lit a cigarette and panned the room. Lighting equipment was suspended everywhere, and the walls were painted or draped in black. The curtain opened on an old man strapped into an ominous-looking chair. He was questioning a jailer servant, who informed him that there was no sun, no moon, no stars anymore. The man seemed to decompose further as he heard each piece of news. Finally, he just resembled a large, quiet scab. Rebecca stared at Ron with a complete lack of understanding. He felt the same way, but leaned over and whispered, "It'll become more clear as we go along." When the two figures began to pop their heads out of what appeared to be flour barrels, Ron began to see that this must be one of those new type of plays that didn't really have a meaning until you read what the theater critics said about it. He looked at Rebecca, who was earnestly concentrating on the stage. At the intermission, Ron asked Rebecca if she was enjoying herself. She said she wasn't sure, but she was determined to figure out what was going on. They went into the lobby, and Rebecca excused herself to go to the ladies' room. Surveying the crowd, Ron heard strands of conversation that sounded like broken radio signals as they wafted to him. Rebecca was a very pretty girl, and she was enthusiastic about things, but she approached stuff with a wholesome innocence that had Ron a little worried and kept him unsure where he stood with her. Beckett is Kafkaesque, but even more so than anything else that's been created in the contemporary period. The lady was dressed in a small burnt orange skirt with a contrasting lighter blouse, all of which complemented her naturally blonde hair and glittering jewelry. Her three companions were listening intently and trying to ignore the fact that they were in a local New Jersey theater. But his sense of humor is much more slapstick, as if it might have been influenced by Chaplin. It has a belly laugh quality that adds to the absurd effect. The man who was speaking held his all-weather coat draped over his arm in a studied pose. "I'm enjoying him completely," said the other woman in the group. She threw a quick glance to the man standing at her side. "The confusion is very appropriate to my life." Her companion in the group stared back resolutely. "I think the guy's a nut. If this is good, then I have no taste at all." The confused woman took hold of his arm. "I might agree with your analysis of your taste and tact as well, for that matter," the burnt orange skirt said. "Don't you see the relevance of Beckett right here?" "Let's go back inside," said the old weather coat, trying to shut his wife up. As they turned, Ron noticed that her burnt orange behind was pretty tight for a middle-aged babe. Ron saw Rebecca coming out of the ladies' room and moved up to meet her. The second half of the play did nothing to alleviate their confusion. Ron had grown bored and thought the whole thing had become tiresome, and he just wasn't ready for this sort of thing. He needed to do more reading. He needed to talk to a whole bunch of people. He looked at Rebecca and instinctively felt that she would never be ready for this sort of thing. He casually put his arm around her waist as they left the theater. He could feel the smooth circles that her hips were making as they walked. What the fuck did it matter if she did or didn't understand something that he wasn't even sure he would be able to comprehend? Would you like to get something to eat? I'm not hungry, said Rebecca, but I would like some coffee. That's easy, said Ron. We could have it back at my house. Ron thought about the kimono and the butcher, and didn't say anything right away. She noticed his hesitation and said, My parents won't be around, especially if they know I've brought someone home with me. That'd be fine, he said. He tried to tell himself that it wasn't going to be too bad and decided as they got into the car that it was time to kiss her. He reached across for her before he turned on the engine. She seemed a little taken by surprise, but then melted into the kiss. She opened her mouth a little, and he quickly ran his tongue across her teeth and gums. He squeezed her shoulders and pushed further into her mouth. She exhaled through her nose and opened her mouth wider. His body felt hot enough to boil water. She remembered a moment later that it was their first kiss and pulled away. Wow, that was some kiss. Ron blushed and wished that she hadn't quite put it that way. She sat close to him and alternately let him hold her hand and rub her thigh on the way back to her house. Ron had a hard-on. He wanted her to touch it, and yet he was afraid to let her know that it was there. His body pissed him off sometimes. He wasn't supposed to stand up like a flagpole after their first kiss. Rebecca had been right. There was no one in the downstairs area of the house, and they found a note on the kitchen table. Your father and I are playing cards at Aunt Gibbs' house. Your brothers are spending the night with their cousins. We probably won't be home until very late, so make sure the doors are locked before you go to bed. Love, Ma. Rebecca walked out into the kitchen toward the front door after she read the note. She put the night lock on so no one would walk in on them unexpectedly. Rebecca liked what she knew about Ron, but stopped in the foyer before returning to the kitchen and asked herself in a voice she acquired from her mother, how involved did she really want to get with this boy? She knew that he was at least as horny as the rest of the boys his age. She did want to make out and let him touch her. Nothing between my legs, she thought to herself. I'm not going to let him take anything off of me either. She gave herself a mischievous smile. She would let him unhook her bra if he did it nicely. Ron was smoking a cigarette when she re-entered the kitchen. She watched the way he looked at the floor and let his hair dangle in front of his face. She moved toward the refrigerator. Would you like something to eat? I don't know. What have you got? Well, she said in a proud voice that it was in control of its subject. There are cold cuts, or cheesecake, or eggplant that I could eat up for you. Eggplant would be great, but I'll eat it cold. That's the way my father likes it, said Rebecca excitedly. I could never stand it that way. She paused. Are you Italian, Ron? No, but I was sort of raised in an Italian family. His aunt would die if she ever heard him say that. Rebecca felt Ron move up behind her while she was taking the plastic wrapper off the leftover eggplant. She turned around and launched into another tongue-twirling kiss. He pushed his front up against her, and she responded by moving her hips and sticking the tips of her breasts into his chest. He moved his mouth to his neck when they broke the kiss and licked the area just below her ear. She shivered when he moved up a little and exhaled into her auditory canal. She giggled to herself, thinking about the way she and her friend Lisa discovered making out in purely biological terms. It sounded so funny then, and right now it seemed exciting to think of the word biological. Ron was proud of the way he restrained himself so far. he thought that it was probably a good time to cool it and have coffee. Then they could really get into it. Life with a woman like this would be okay, he told himself, as she brought the plates over to the table. Ron liked her mouth. There was a wave of her lips, and right now they looked just a little swollen, like certain parts of him felt. He needed an excuse to rub his cock just one time. But she was looking at him, and he couldn't figure out how to do it. Let's talk about the play, she said, sitting down on the other side of the table with a piece of cheesecake and her coffee. I think it was frustrating. Rebecca smiled and felt relieved. Did you understand what the point was? Not really, said Ron. He was eating this very good eggplant and relaxing, and he'd spoken before he'd had a thought about what he was going to say. He realized it and drew inside to yell at himself. He was not to accept the fact that there was anything he didn't understand. Not ever again. I think, he began again without knowing what he was going to say, that he sees suffering in life everywhere. And so he says that's all there is to it. For a second, he thought of an absurd song that he'd heard on the radio. Is that all there is? The singer was someone named his mother used to like, named Peggy Lee. He'd even seen Peggy Lee at the Copa while he was working for IBM. Whenever he heard her name, it reminded him of Porky Pig in tights singing in a Disney movie. Suddenly, he was identifying himself with Porky Pig, and it sucked in on his stomach muscles. It's like Bob Dylan, he found himself saying more comfortably. Then he paused. Do you know who Bob Dylan is? He asked pointedly. Ron would have liked for her to jump up in the air, clasp her hands together, and cry, He is my favorite singer in the world, and you're just like him. But that didn't happen. The question seemed to come to her from out of nowhere, and she wasn't quite sure what it had to do with what they were talking about. Ron took her silence to mean that she didn't know who Dylan was and saw a chance to be evangelical. You know who the guy wrote Blowin' in the Wind and Mr. Tambourine Man? You've never heard of him, huh? Yes, she said. I know who he is. Rebecca felt a little insulted, but decided to let it pass. Ron wasn't convinced. Have you got any of his albums? I don't think so. You should let me play some of my Dylan albums for you sometime. I think you'd really like them. That would be nice. Ron continued. Like what Dylan did in Desolation Row is similar to what we saw at the theater. But Dylan's better because he gives you something to hang on to. Maybe we just didn't see what the author was giving us tonight. Ron was in high gear. I'm not sure that I want to see what somebody like that is saying. He's just trying to make me feel rotten about being alive because he sees no point in it. Maybe he'd be better off dead, but that's no reason for him to drag me down into the hole that he's in. Would you like more coffee? Ron was hoping that they weren't wasting precious time with all this talking, but he accepted. What I don't understand, she said, as she poured, is why those people were stuck in flour barrels. It's probably symbolic of old age, said Ron, speaking without thinking, and then decided that what he said still made absolute sense. You think so? Yes, because that would explain why their skin was all white and why they couldn't move and why they always seemed to be complaining. I guess that's what it feels like to get old, said Rebecca. Ron thought he detected an edge of worry in her voice. She returned the coffee pot, and Ron got up after her. She turned back around and caught him in an awkward middle ground. He didn't seem to know what to do. Rebecca was amused and considered sitting back down, leaving him with the obstacle of the table to overcome. But she said, Would you like to have coffee on the couch? He nodded his head eagerly, and reached for his cigarettes. He followed her into the TV room, staring at her ass and wondering how far she was going to let him get. Rebecca was going to suggest watching TV, but he was on her almost immediately. She was ready for his tongue this time and opened her mouth to let him scour her. She liked the feel of it, particularly when it brushed against the tip of her tongue. He rubbed her stomach and started his tentative journey to her breast. She didn't do anything to stop him, but Ron thought he noticed a tightening in her body. "It's probably just my imagination," he thought to himself, adding that she didn't like what he was doing. She would say or do something. He squeezed her breast. He liked the large, firm feel of the softness underneath the material. He massaged her tit with a back-and-forth motion. Rebecca placed her fingertips lightly on the hand that was kneading her chest. At their feel, Ron stopped moving and waited for her to take it away. She kissed him harder when he stopped, and he took it to mean that she was happier kissing him than she was having him play with her. But she hadn't moved his hand. After a moment, he began to knead again. He moved his mouth up to her ear and found a large clump of hair covering it. He tunneled through with his tongue and stuck it like he was aiming for a target. The sound and feel of the live thing in her ear was exciting. She thought about the tingly way it would feel to have the thing wiggle all over her. Ron put his hand on her hip and tried to draw her down on top of him. She thought that things had begun to move a little too fast at his speed and stopped her slow descent by bracing herself against the back of the couch and trying to sit Ron back up. He took hold of her breast for assurance. She left his hand there and gave him a wistful smile. Ron tried to pull back down at the edge of the smile. "Take it easy," she said. "Don't rush it." For a second, Ron felt that he was being told not to gulp his soda. Nobody understood that he liked it better when he gulped it. He let go of her breast quickly and lit a cigarette. He gulped some coffee and liked the way the hot liquid burned his throat. He took another drag on the cigarette and brushed the hair out of his eyes. He realized that he'd lost track of where he put his glasses, but quickly remembered the image of them resting on Rebecca's kitchen table. "Now I have to put up with worrying about whether I've lost them all the time," he thought. She hadn't said a word about them. Ron looked at Rebecca and startled at the sight of her coming towards him. She put her hand on each of his shoulders and looked intently into his eyes. He was caught, holding his coffee in one hand and the cigarette in the other. "Do you want me to kiss you with what I feel inside of me right now?" she said, in a low voice that Ron thought didn't sound natural. He wanted to say, "Can you wait until I put these things down?" but he was afraid to break her mood. She moved so that her face was just an inch from his. She brought a finger up to his lips and traced the outline of his mouth. Then she took the coffee cup out of his hand. His heart was beating hard. He felt a drop of perspiration trickle down his back. She brought her hand to his chest and lightly rubbed the exposed skin just below his neck. She kissed him in a way that pushed his head back. He was looking at the ceiling. She pushed her knee between his legs and wedged it against his crotch. Her hands rubbed circles inside of his shirt, and her tongue softly lashed in and out of his mouth. After the kiss, she put her head on his chest and purred in a contented hum. Ron was dumbfounded. He even forgot about the stiffness in his cock. He looked through her hair with soft eyes and put out what was left of his cigarette. He started to speak without knowing what he was going to say. "Are you doing anything tomorrow?" "Not in the evening." "Do you want to go to a movie?" "Maybe," she said, turning to face him. At close range, her features looked so perfect. He stroked her cheek. Her skin was nothing but smoothness. While he was on his way home, Ron wondered if he'd fallen in love with Rebecca. He could still feel her knee between his legs, and it felt indescribably good when they were standing on the porch kissing, and she wrapped the ends of her hair around his head so that now she could keep him there as long as she wanted. "Damn," he said out loud. He thought about how she knew how to make a man want her. On the porch, she had let him touch her tits as much as he wanted, and seemed to like him doing it. He wondered how many guys she'd done it with. Then he thought, maybe she's never done it with anybody before, and I was the first person to make her feel this way. Ron would have liked to believe that, but his mind conjured back images of the game show. There he was on stage again, and the professional voice was talking to the audience. The new word for the contestant is sap. Ron saw a neon flash across his forehead. He had to give up on ideas like virginity. They were making him lose sight of the great thing that had just happened, and he was too old for that sort of nonsense. It was like believing in Jesus, and he was too old for that sort of thing, too. His mind drifted to the flood of pictures he'd seen in the computer room that morning. He felt frustrated because there was no way to make the experience of Rebecca and the way he felt about the war fit together. He lit a cigarette and turned up the volume on the radio. Made him feel isolated enough to view the problems in perspective. "It's because it's war and peace," he said to himself, with a sense of astonishment. He felt embarrassed to have thought such a thing. Of course it was war and peace. Just like it was night, and next it would be day. Both realizations were in the same category. Julian Willie would have loved to have witnessed this bit of logical reasoning. An image of how his face must have looked when he'd gone for help with his radio program flashed in his brain. All I needed was a banana. There was a part of him that wanted to laugh at that thought, but he wasn't going to laugh about making a fool of himself anymore. "I've got to stop being an asshole," he said. He paid the toll and exited the parkway. He was becoming something different, and he wanted Rebecca to be part of it. Ron felt confused again. Is that what Lashley said by seeing things as an extension of myself? It was. That meant that Ron was more fucked up than he'd ever been. He parked the car at the end of the driveway and wondered if she'd noticed the bashed-in rear end. "Fuck it," he said, and went into his house.